Good morning. We are talking about fighting right. And the goal is not that we stop fighting. You've probably tried that before. That doesn't tend to help, but that you'd be able to take the fights that you have and be able to go, okay, there's something I'm going to always do when I fight. Here's something I'm never going to do. So that then, as I move forward, the next fight moves toward oneness instead of tearing us apart. So last week we learned that the first thing we want to do is we want to listen. We want to understand first before we're trying to be understood. We want to really know, wait a minute, what is it you're really actually saying to me? And understand that before we begin to communicate back with the other person. And today we're going to look at the other side of that. Once I've understood, then what's the next step in the fight? And as we start, I want to talk about something that happened to me this week. I was setting up for Reengage, and we don't have the chapel done quite yet, and Reengage is going to meet in the chapel when they get going. So we needed to set it up in here, and I wanted to be able to use the screen, but we use something special for the Reengage part of it that that's not hooked into the system. And a little background, we've really improved our production here at Skyline through since we've moved into the building. And as you improve it, it actually gets more complicated. There's more pieces that can go wrong. So we've had a lot of trouble with either me or someone else messing with the system during the week. And then when they come in and they turn it on, there's something wrong. And you're freaking out, like, how do we do that? And Izzy and I have had a lot of conversations. He's tried at least 10 different ways to tell me, we can't have anybody messing with the system. Right? They have to know what's going on. So Wednesday, it's about 4 hours before Reengage, and I'm looking at this thing. I'm like, look, I should be able to just plug that in there. That should work. And I'm like, should I call Izzy? Nah, he's at work. He'd never be able to make it here. Plus, I don't like to give him that last minute thing. And I know this pretty well. I think I could do it. And so I'm literally thinking through how I'm going to lie to him. Right? This is a guy that has poured his life into me, and we're really close friends, and we're really trying to build something here that impacts people's lives. And I'm going, should I tell him or not tell him? Should I, like, why should I tell him? So I take the piece and go up the steps, and I looked at it, and I looked behind there. There's like 45 wires. I was like, Chris, what are you doing? Don't do that. So I can only tell you the story because I didn't lie, right? Otherwise, he'd be mad at me because nothing would have worked this morning, and I wouldn't be able to tell the story, but I can tell that story. So here, why do we do that? Why do we do that? Why do we control information like that? And so when we fight, we tend to control information in that first fight. And then that breaks trust for the next fight. So instead of setting yourself up to be able to build on something, you're tearing it down. You're creating what probably a lot of you are in, the cycle, where it's just one fight, and then another fight, and then another fight, and then another fight. But you're not building toward connection, you're falling apart. And as we work through this, the most important, or I think the most incredible experience for a human being is oneness. It's when you get to share something with someone else, where trust grows with that person, and you feel like, wait a minute, we belong to one another. And so I get to go through life with that person. It's an incredible experience. We've been working on this chapel, and we could have just hired the entire thing done and tried to raise more money. Right? We could have said, we need more money. We're just going to hire the whole thing done, and away we go. But we did a bunch of the work ourselves because we're cheap. Not totally because we're cheap. I don't want to lie. That's part of it, right? We want to save money. But a big part of it is we get to work together. And if it takes longer, and it doesn't actually turn out quite as good as it could have, but we've experienced this together, that's way better. And in your marriages and your relationships with your teenagers and your relationships with your children and your relationships at work, when you're on these teams, when you go through life, and in every one of those situations, there's conflict and you're you feel torn apart. It destroys life. That's called stress. When you go through life, and when you go through something that's even really, really hard, but you go through it with someone, when you look back on that experience, you're like, this is one of the best things that ever happened in my life. I loved that. That was incredible. Couples go through this all the time. They're now 50 years old. They've got enough money to pay for everything, and they've got everything figured out and everything planned out, so no conflict comes into their life. And they're all alone, even though they live in the same house. But they remember a time when they were 22 and they had to eat Roman noodles or ramen noodles because they didn't have enough money, but how they did it together. We did it together. Remember what that was like? That was awesome. And when we go to fight right, we want to move toward that. We want to experience oneness together. And God gives us those principles to be able to do that as a church as well. And so we're going to jump into that with this first passage. This comes from Ephesians 4. And all of our verses come from Ephesians throughout this series. And it's a part that's called the put off, put on. We call it put off, put on. Where Paul says, look, this is who you used to be before you knew Christ. Now that you know Christ, you're a new person. So put off the old person and put on this new person. He says, therefore, laying aside falsehood, stop lying. Stop not telling the truth. And speak the truth, each one of you, with his neighbor. Now, as we walk through what we're going to talk about today, some of you are going to be tempted to think like, oh, is he trying to teach us that lying is wrong and you're a liar and bad person you are? No. I'm going to take it for granted you know that lying is wrong. I'm going to take it for granted that if you get tested and you put the thing on you and you're like, is lying wrong? You're going to go, lying is wrong. That's not the goal of today. If you go down that trail, you've left us, right? That's not what we're talking about today. We are talking about this speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor. Because almost all of us are convinced, yes, lying is wrong. Almost none of us are convinced that telling the truth is a good idea. Not the whole truth. Not every time. Especially not in a fight. And then what's he say? For we are members of one another. Do you want to experience being members of one another? Then you tell the whole truth. You tell all of the truth. Now, for many of us, when we hear that word, we think facts. Just tell the facts. Tell all the facts. Not reveal who I really am. Not lay everything on the table, not my cards, not my power, not my fears. This here is like, speak the truth, each one of you, with his neighbor. How do you stop lying? You stop lying by focusing on telling the truth. So what is this lying thing? Well, you've heard this in courts, to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So to tell the truth, there's first lies of commission. These are the lies where, this is what, whenever somebody says, you should not lie, this is what you think of. I know what's true, I'm going to lie. You know, you get home from work and da-da-da-da, say, there's money missing from the kitchen table where you were saving up money for such and such, but you had to have money for lunch, and your wife goes, where'd that money go? You're like, I don't know. That's a lie, right? It's a lie of commission. You know where the money went, you're lying. Then there's the whole truth, lies of omission. The whole truth. Lies of omission is where I tell part of the truth, but I don't tell all of the truth. This is what happens when a little kid is crying in the room and you open the door and you walk in and one of them is crying, looking at you like, do something about this. And the other one is sitting over there going, right? And the one who's crying go, I didn't do anything. They just came up and punched me right in the mouth. And you're like, nothing? I did take his toy, right? Didn't tell the whole truth. And lies of omission are very comfortable. We're really comfortable with this. And when we're caught in a lie of omission, we will usually say, I didn't lie. I didn't lie. I didn't, you can't expect me to tell everything. These we're really comfortable with. Tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Adding info to hide or distort the truth. In other words, I'm telling the story, but then I add these pieces to the story, which then paints a very different picture of what has happened. If I could take videos, I do not do this in case you come see me, right? If I took videos, if I hit a hidden camera in my office or whenever you guys meet with me and you start to tell your story, they are full of this. Like you're telling the story and you're like, oh, I didn't, how do you know that? Everybody does this. We tell the story in such a way that we're not the bad guy. Somebody else is the bad guy. And so, why do we do this? Why do we do this? I think part of it is that we believe we own the information. I think we believe we own the information. It's our story. It's our truth. We get to decide what we're going to do with this. There's another piece to this as to why we do it. Whether or not you grew up on the streets and you're what you would call street smart, you grew up on the streets, or if you're from Wall Street, you've been taught the exact same thing. It has been reinforced over and over and over again. The way that you win, the way that you get ahead, is you control information. It's what smart people do. If you grew up on either one of these things, you live your lives to detect lies. You're constantly going, oh, I think they're lying, I think they're lying, I think they're lying. And then you take information and you use it to get what you want. You use it to get people to interact or react the way you want. For some of you, you've been taught this from such a young age. This entire talk might be like confusing to you. Like, I don't know what he's talking about. This is what I'm talking about. Anytime that you're about to talk to somebody and you go, let's see, how should I say this so that they will react the way I want them to? What should I say so that they will be happy? How should I say this so they won't be mad at me? So they won't blow up? So that they will... That is so natural to you, you think that's wisdom. You think it's wise, your ability to control information. It's what you've always done. It's what your mom taught you to do, and it's what your grandma taught you to do. It's what they've always done to you. Is in every situation, evaluate the situation, look at your options, and choose the truth or information that will produce what you want produced. That's street smart. That's Wall Street smart. That's how you operate. You need to know this. People on Wall Street do not develop close personal relationships. They do not trust each other. People on the street do not develop close personal relationships. You say, oh, yes, they do. That's my best bud. Yeah. Until it's in his best interest to throw you under the bus. You know this. You've watched it over and over again. It's not a real connection. It's all built on what's best for me at the given time. What God is offering is actual connection, actual oneness with other people. So why do we lie? Why do we control information? Why do we do this? We deceive other people because we think it serves our purposes. And in some way, and it's easy. It's really easy. The reason you lie is because you think it works. The reason that you lie is you think it works. Your first reaction is because you think it works. Do you remember being a kid and your parents asking you, "Why'd you lie?" "Well, I don't know." And you really thought you didn't know. Because you think it works. When your spouse asks you, "Why did you lie?"
I don't know. I just did.
No, it's because you think it works. And it's really easy. It's the first thing that comes out of your mouth. It comes from a wisdom that's not God's wisdom. So we're going to take a look at the passage in James. And in James, we're going to look at what he says is godly wisdom in terms of telling the truth and what is ungodly wisdom. We're going to start with the ungodly one first. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. If you harbor bitter envy is, I don't have what I need. I need what you have. I don't have what I need. I need what they have. Bitter envy is when you live your life and you're not grateful. You don't have what you need. When you come into church and you look around this place and you meet different people and you find out what they have and you find out the relationships they have and you find out these different things, you're like, "Oh man, how come I don't have that? Why don't I have that? If I had that." In the culture we live in a culture that's saturated with an advertising industry that's the entire purpose of advertising is to create envy. That's what it's for. Whenever you hear someone go, "You deserve," the reason why you should buy this is because you deserve it. That's envy. It's envy. Like, I need that. I'm not okay where I am. And selfish ambition. I'm going to get somewhere. I'm going to prove I am somebody. I'm going to be somebody. I'm going to get stuff and I'm going to be somebody. This is about me. Now, is it not true that every fight you've ever been in, it was about you? That's where you're operating from. You're operating from the place that, "Babe, if you don't give me what I want, I can't be happy. The reason I'm so mad and hurt and whatever word you want to put after that is because if I don't have what I need, you're not giving me what I need." And selfish ambition. It's about me. I have never seen someone get mad and irate and say horrible things because you cared about the other person. It's because it's about your ambition. He says, do not boast about it or deny the truth. I just want you to settle on how many times you've boasted to yourself about your ability to control information. About how you have said, "I showed her. I showed him." How about when you told the story of the fight that you had with somebody else to another person? The rest of us went, "Whoa, they're really boasting about it." And they're denying the truth. Why? Because the entire time they're telling you about the fight, you present yourself as the righteous one, as the good one. You're denying what's really going on, which is you're manipulating the truth. You're controlling the truth. Then he says this, such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly. Now this is really important when you come from the place that, No, the reason I control information is because I'm trying to get the right outcome. I want righteousness to happen. I want good things to happen. And so I need to control the information so they'll respond the right way. That's wisdom. Are you with me? That's you going, this is the way life works. This is how life works, and so the wise thing to do is what I'm doing. You're right, it's wisdom, but it's not from heaven. It's from the earth. It's unspiritual, which means you can't do that and live in the Spirit at the same time. It means you can't do that and trust Jesus at the same time. You can fool yourself into thinking Jesus told you to do that. People do that all the time. All the time. This is okay because Jesus told me to do it. Not from the Bible, he didn't tell you to do that. It's unspiritual. You can't surrender to Christ and do this wisdom at the same time. It's demonic. Now, again, you may be here checking out the Bible and you're like, whoa, what's with all this Satan demonic stuff? That's too much. I personally very much believe what the Bible says about these things, but for you, it's not good. It's clearly not good. And you can wrestle with it from there. He says, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. When you're at war, when you're fighting, what's your ultimate goal? Like, when you're fighting, why are you doing this? Why are you saying the things you're saying? Why are you saying the mean things you're saying? Why are you controlling information the way you're controlling information? Do you not believe that if you win the argument, it will bring order to your life? Do you not believe? Are you not so adamant, so self-righteous, so... Because you believe that if you win the argument, it will bring goodness or order to life. We won't have to fight about this anymore once I win. You do, don't you? I want that to sink in. Because what the Bible says is it brings disorder. And the last 15 fights you've had, have they brought order or disorder? How many fights that you walked away from going, I told them? Do you get to walk back to that person and you find order? Some of you have so fooled yourself that the people you love, you're so good at fighting that the people you love now just cower to you and you think that's order. We don't fight anymore. That's right. They gave up. They just exist with you. But you don't experience oneness. You don't experience joy and peace and power. Why? Because it creates disorder, it creates division, it creates loneliness, and every evil practice. Isn't that a bit strong? I don't think it is. I don't think it is at all. If you don't win here, you'll take it further. And if you don't win here, you'll take it further. If we watched you fight, would we not be, I can't believe you said that. I can't believe you said it that way. And then when the fight is over and it was a draw or you lost, and in your mind you think through the fight again and you prepare for the next fight, do you not think of the most evil things to say to that person? Oftentimes, they never come out of your mouth, but you actually think them. That's the result of earthly wisdom. We fight because we're afraid. We have fear. We're afraid of the way it's going to work out. We are very afraid of reality. We control information. I'm sorry, not fight, but we control information. Because we're afraid that if I tell the truth, this is not going to go well. I'm going to lose. If I tell the truth, I'll lose control. We think that by controlling information, we control the situation. We're afraid of exposing ourselves. We are afraid of exposing who we are to someone else. We fundamentally believe that if we're getting along okay under a lie, it's better than having conflict in truth that will eventually lead to actual peace. You've experienced this, I'm sure you have. In some form or fashion, you either heard of it or you've experienced it yourself. Where you had a friend who cheated. Let's just go back to junior high so we don't open up bad wounds. Junior high. And you had a friend who cheated on their girlfriend. And you came to them and you saw it. And you're friends with the girlfriend. And you came to them and said, look, I saw you with that person. You have 4 days, you have 2 days, you have 24 hours to tell her what you've done, or I'm going to tell her. And they said, don't ruin my relationship. No, we're getting along fine. Don't do that. Don't ruin my relationship. What do you mean? Don't tell the truth. It will ruin my relationship. We fear the truth. The other reason we do it is manipulation. Manipulation. I'm going to take truth and I'm going to put it into the situation so I get what I want. It's entirely so I can get what I want. I control information to get the output that I want. It's manipulation. I'm going to manipulate that person by giving them the information that they want. I have no idea the percentage, but almost a ton of movies are built off this, right? Spy movies, all this stuff. I'm going to give them the information they want so I can get what I want out of them. That's what we do. That's why we control information, so we can manipulate the other person. In your marriage, guys, you dream of having this marriage where you're crazy in love with each other, where you have this amazing intimacy with each other, amazing sexual connection with each other, just romance. You dream of that. And your way of getting there is you manipulate the information, which guarantees you will never have that. You'll never have it. Every time you manipulate the information, every time you have a fight and you control the information, you don't tell the truth, you don't tell everything, you teach that person you cannot be trusted. They know it. They may never say it, but they take their heart and they back away and they make sure you'll never see them. The other is pride. I gotta look good. I gotta look good. I can't look bad. I can't be humiliated. And so we control information for pride. It's about me. So it's devastating. And when you fight, the reason why you fight and it doesn't lead to connection and just leads to more fights is because you manipulate the information. I mean, you control the information. You use earthly wisdom. And this is where you get caught up. When you use earthly wisdom, you think it's good. You have good intentions. You fooled yourself into thinking you have good intentions. The reason I'm not going to tell the whole truth is because I want something good to happen. You're being fooled because you are using wisdom, but it's earthly wisdom. How do I stop? Well, that's the wrong question. You've tried stopping lying before. We are natural liars. No one ever taught you to lie. You didn't have to go to school to lie. You picked it up just like that. And the way you stop lying is you focus on telling the truth, the whole truth, all of it. You communicate by listening and speaking. So last week we talked about first you listen. You make sure you understand what they are saying and who they are. And now it's time to speak. So I'm going to tell the whole truth. And the goal of communication is mutual understanding or being one. I want to connect with that person. I want to become one with that person. The Bible says this, but the wisdom that comes from heaven, so this is a different kind of wisdom, is first of all pure. Pure. Without defect. It doesn't have little things floating around in it. It has no germs. It's pure. It's not possible to control information and be pure at the same time. Why? Because once you start to control it, you're not interested in what's true anymore. And you contaminate it. It's then peace-loving. You're like, I am peace-loving. I love peace. There's a difference between a peacemaker and somebody who worships peace, which means I'm going to control information so I can get peace. Men are notorious for this. The reason you lie is because you don't want to deal with the issue that's going on in your marriage. The reason you lie, and you tell yourself this all the time, I'm not telling her that. That's just going to cause a fight. I'm not bringing that up. That's just going to cause a fight. I don't want to deal with that. That's not peace loving. It doesn't mean you want to be able to make peace. It means you just worship peace. And so you sacrifice the truth for it. Consider it. The reason I'm going to tell the truth is because it's best for them. Submissive. It's kind of the core of it. You see, you think you own the truth. I was working on this message. This really hit me. I think I own the truth. It's my truth. It's my life. This is very American. It's my life. I can do anything I want with it. Number one, it's not your life. It's God's life. Number two, it's not your truth. It's the truth. And when you think you own the truth, you rule it. When you submit yourself to the truth, it rules you. When you submit yourself to the truth, it means I'm willing to live with the consequences of the truth. I'm willing to live with the repercussions of the truth. I'm willing to trust God in the midst of the truth that He's going to set me free. Now, this is impossible unless the person is more important to you than the issue. See, the way that you create oneness, the way that you interact with oneness is that the person is more important to you than the issue. This can, you're like, oh, we're talking about the really big issues. No, no, no. We can be talking about where's the car keys? I'm late for work. Where are the car keys? And you're going into a fight, right? At that moment, what's more important to you, the person or getting to work on time? She lost her car keys. She's going to get them right now. What's more important to you? See, you will not submit to the truth if the issue is more important than the person. You will not be full of mercy. Mercy is, I'm not here for punishment. I'm not here to punish you. I'm not here to win. You will not have good fruit and be impartial. Impartial means I just want to operate on the truth. I want to operate in reality. So I'm gonna put the whole thing out here. I'm gonna show you who I am. I'm gonna tell you the whole truth. Insincere. Sincere is a really, it's an amazing word. It means without an agenda. I don't have an agenda. I just am here to be honest with you. That kind of wisdom can only be practiced if you will submit to the truth. You can't own it and submit to it at the same time. You can't manipulate it and submit to it at the same time. Here's the result. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. What does that look like? This is what it looks like. Babe, you can look at my phone, you can look at my records, you can follow me around wherever you are, and I never have to worry that you're going to find something that you don't already know. You can ask me the hardest and the toughest questions in the world, and I don't have to be defensive. How come? Because I'm not controlling the truth. What it looks like is a couple who, when they walk home or they walk into a situation and it looks like something's gone wrong, it looks like somebody's deceived somebody else, they can look each other in the eye and they can know, we're in this together. Let's go in that room over there and find out what the truth is. And they're going to share the truth. Realistically, what this looks like is sometimes in the moment he lies. But before they go to bed that night, he goes, hey, I got to tell you something. When you asked me what I was thinking today, we couldn't have done that where we were, and so I didn't tell you the truth. When you asked me this today, when this happened today, I was lying. What this looks like is you have a fight. But during that fight, you never say or call the other person names. You never have to win. You don't manipulate the truth. You say things. And at the end of the fight, you're still not okay. At the end of the fight, you're really disappointed, and you may even be really, really hurt. But you know that person can be trusted because they didn't lie to me. So instead of being pushed apart, we came a little bit closer together. It doesn't feel like it. It doesn't feel good at all. I don't like the truth. I don't like what they said. I don't like that it's true. But I can trust them. Because they didn't lie to me. That's what it looks like. You only get here because you submit to the truth. You only get here because you trust God's wisdom over your wisdom. Just a couple other passages. This is the harvest of righteousness. You end up in a relationship where you interact with each other with love, which means you always protect. You always trust, you always hope, and you always persevere. I never want to present you my life as the example. I don't want you to live my life. That's my life. That's Lori and I's life. After 40 years of lying and then telling the truth, after 40 years of realizing, wow, I'm a master manipulator. She's not. I am. And as we've been married for 40 years, the last three times ago we went through reengage, it came out that there's a lot of times I control the truth. I was able to put that stuff on the line. Not big stuff, pretty small stuff. This last passage, I got to ask you. You think that's true? An honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. How do you live your life? Would you dare to admit to God, whoa, I see it. I manipulate the truth. I think I own it. God, if I give you rule over my life, if I tell the truth, are you sure it's going to end up in righteousness? Because I think it's going to end up in a divorce. If I tell the truth to my teenagers, are you sure it's going to end up in righteousness? Because I think it's going to be bad. In the moment, it's going to be bad. When you first tell the truth, it's going to be bad. But you will lay a foundation which will lead to life. You will lay a foundation which will lead to connection and oneness. You may be really disappointed in each other for a while. But if time after time after time they notice he's really being honest about this, your bad fights will turn into good fights, which will lead to a oneness that you only dream of right now. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, first of all, I want to thank you for not only teaching me this principle, but you just would never give up. You don't give up. You continue to bring it to my attention pretty clearly how often I think it's best to control that information. And I love the journey you have me on to with the elders, with my wife, with my friends, with the goal of never controlling any truth or controlling any information. And Jesus, I pray for the people of our church. I pray for the people here today, everyone from those who have lived their entire lives and they're excellent at controlling information. It's worked so well for them, but they find themselves alone. And they've blamed it on everybody and everything, and they blamed it on you. To the one who they don't believe they do that because they've gotten so subtle at it. They're so crafted at it. They don't even recognize when they're doing it. God, would you this morning, would you just put a mirror in front of us? Show us what we're doing and how we're practicing it. And then give us the courage to trust you and put off lying by telling the whole truth. In your name we pray.